Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be a guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is one of those stories that sticks with us. There are lots of details. Many of you might have, as I did, learned it in a song when you were in Sunday school as a child. Every time I hear the word Zacchaeus, the song goes through my head. I can't stop it, even when I try. But I'm not going to sing it for you now, so you'll have to just, you know, figure it out on your own. But there's all these details in the story about Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy man. He was short. His wealth did not make him so stuck up that he was unwilling to climb a tree to see something he wanted to see. How many of you have thought about climbing a tree so you could get a better view of what's going on around you? All right. I knew there were some people out here who must have climbed a tree or two in their lifetime. But Zacchaeus was this guy. He was a tax collector. He was supposed to have some, you know, pomp to him, or he was kind of important, or at least he thought he was. So it's surprising that he climbed this tree, but he did it because he'd heard about Jesus and he wanted to see who this guy was. So Jesus must have spotted him up there in between the leaves, and as he gets up closer to him, he looks up and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down from the tree because I've decided to come to your house for dinner." And so he does. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree. They go to Zacchaeus' house. He serves a nice meal. In the meantime, they leave behind the crowd, who begins to grumble among itself with each other, gossiping about how Jesus has gone to eat with that sinner. And he would probably eat with just anyone. At the end of the meal, or sometime along the way, while Jesus and Zacchaeus are together, Zacchaeus declares that he will give away much of his wealth and that he'll stop cheating people. And Jesus declares that salvation has visited his house. There's foolishness in this story. There's intrigue. There's dissatisfaction. And there's transformation. These past few weeks, we've been speaking a lot, as we read from the Gospel of Luke, about sin, or brokenness, or separation from God, and how we are all a part of that. And in this story, we find no exception. Zacchaeus made his money on the backs of all those people in that crowd. As the chief tax collector, he made his money on the backs of those people and the people who collected taxes from them. It was kind of like a Ponzi scheme, and he was at the top in that particular territory. So he was clearly, clearly a sinner. And the people were disappointed and outraged that Jesus would go to his house for dinner. Why wouldn't Jesus come and eat with one of us? We're more righteous. We follow the law. Why not? Why does he go there? Why doesn't he come to me? But Zacchaeus was the choice of the day. Jesus picked a big sinner to spend time with. So my question to you is, are you a big enough sinner for Jesus to spend time with you? Would Jesus come to your house? Or would he go to that sinner's down the street? Are we crazy enough to climb a tree just to get a vision, a sight, a glimpse of who this Jesus is? Would we take the risks necessary to draw attention to ourselves, even though we know that everyone might despise us for it? Would we let ourselves be noticed not for what we do well, but for the places where we fall short, for the things we're not so good at? That's what Zacchaeus did that day. We are all broken, or we are all sinners. You can call it how you will, use whatever language you want, but we all fall short of who God has called and created us to be. We fall short of who we aspire to become. We turn our backs on issues of justice. We hope someone else will be the one to stand up or speak out for those who are in need. We let our personal relationships grow distant at times. And when we realize all of these things have happened, we find ourselves feeling bad about ourselves. We wonder how we might repair things. And this story reminds us that even in our brokenness and our sin, we are not cut off from God in Christ. Our relationship with God does not end even when we take a wrong step along the way. We don't have to let ourselves and the ways that we fall short keep us from knowing that love and grace and peace and hope that comes from being in a relationship with God. We don't have to let ourselves miss out on the promise of new life. Nearly 500 years ago, I didn't do my math right, there was a young priest, Martin Luther, who took a risk to make changes in the way people learned and thought about God. To make changes in the way that peoples came to know God. Until that time, the early 1500s, the Western Church was dominated by the Pope in Rome. Everyone was basically Roman Catholic. There were no other things. There were no Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists. None of those groups had really developed yet. It was all what the Pope said. People didn't really know how to read. The priests were the educated class, but people like you and me wouldn't have had any kind of access to printed material because the printing press was just making its way into the world. So the priests often controlled a town or a village, and they accepted gifts or bribes, whichever you'd like to call it. They accepted things from the wealthy in the town to help people become closer to God. So if I were a priest in the town that day and you came up and handed me $100, I'd say, oh, good job, God forgives you. But if you came up to me and handed me a carrot, I'd say, well, you need to work a little harder before God's going to forgive you. Come back with something else. So maybe next time you might bring me, I don't know, a chicken. I don't know. But it was all about kind of the thing we've come to know as pay to play. That's kind of what the church was like in those days. Not everywhere. Everyone wasn't corrupt. Everyone wasn't following in this way of enriching themselves under the guise of providing a connection between people and God. But it was the prevalent way in which the church acted. And Martin Luther didn't like it. And he thought to himself, and he studied the scriptures, he was a priest, and he said, you know what, as I read what it says here in the Gospels, I don't don't think it has to be this way. I don't think we have to ask someone else to call God on our behalf. I think we could study the scriptures ourselves, and that the people could understand themselves what it's like to know and be in a relationship with God. What we need to do is get the scriptures into the hands of the people. What a radical idea. Get the scriptures into the hands of the people so that they can learn on their own. Money and wealth would have no place in one's relationship with God. And so he started up, it was on October 31st that he did this, and he went to the church in town or to the cathedral, and he took what he thought, he'd written it down, and he took a nail and he tacked it to the door so that everybody could see what he thought. As you might imagine, he was not very popular among the leaders of the church, but he was a person who changed who and what the church is. And we are a part of that legacy. After Martin Luther came John Calvin and many, many others who followed John Knox, many others who figured out that it's okay for us to know the scriptures on our own, that someone else doesn't come and just tell us what it means, but we can learn and experience revelation and understanding without someone in between. Martin Luther was a sinner. He was broken. He was despised by the people who were closest to him after he began to share these new ideas with other people. He would have been one of those people that Jesus said, "Hey, I'm coming to your house tonight." He changed the understanding of God for generations to come. We all know God in a different way because of the spark that was awakened in him those years ago. There's a movie that came out quite a while ago called Chocolat. In it, a young woman, a young mother, single mother, moves with her daughter to this village in France. And it was near the beginning of Lent when she moved in. She was a chocolate maker. And so she found a place that she could live and where she could start a small business making chocolates for the people of the town. Everybody began whispering about her because they noticed she had this daughter and she had no husband with her. And this was it's set in the 1950s. So it wasn't so common to have single mothers moving about and starting their own businesses as it might be today. In the meantime, this village that she chose was a village that had a mayor who was very, very controlling. And he believed that the season of Lent was one in which everyone should suffer from deprivation. It was a time to consider seriously one's sins. It was a time for prayer and fasting. In the meantime, there's this young mother who's opening a chocolate shop in the center of the village, not far from the square where the church was and where the mayor's office was. And the movie continues with the rivalry between the mayor wanting everyone in town, whether they were devout or not, to follow the deprivations of this season of Lent that he thought were so important. And then there's this woman making chocolate and giving free samples to people and changing their lives with this little confection that she had created. The woman seems to know exactly what people need. This person needs this kind. Someone else needs something else that they might share with someone they've been wanting to ask to spend time with but have been afraid to. She helps to heal relationships between grandmothers and grandsons, between mothers and daughters. with her little pieces of chocolate that changed the world. Little by little, the woman melts the hearts of the people, and the cloak of sadness that had hung over the town begins to lift. The people are still going to church during Lent. They're still being devout in what they do, but they're just not so put upon. They don't feel so low in their lives. The mayor sees this happening and is very angry. And he asks the priest to preach more and more against anything pleasant happening during this season of Lent. But at some point in the middle of the night, the mayor gives in to the lure of the chocolate himself. And everything begins to change. The woman that everyone thought was a sinner, he told everyone to turn their backs on her and her daughter. They were not to have anything to do with her. The woman that everyone thought was a sinner has brought new life to these people who would have been considered devout. I think Jesus would have gone to dinner at her house too. And not just for the chocolate, but for the way that she was in the world. God calls us to be that sinner. That's who we are. God doesn't want us to be that sinner, but that's who we are. And says, in spite of that brokenness, you can still become something more. Don't get stuck where you are, in the places where you don't do the things you mean to do, but instead take a risk. Go against the grain. Stand up for something new and for something right. We each do this in a different way, but it is indeed what God calls us to do. Live a little bit of madness as we accept the gift of grace in our lives. When we're a little bit mad, we take more risks. We let ourselves be known. We realize that being different isn't so bad. And yet, once we let that happen, we become so much more than we ever thought possible. A life of faith is not one about how sinful and broken we are. A life of faith is what we do in spite of our sin and our brokenness. Zacchaeus was changed after Jesus called him out of the tree. He became more fair and more generous. We don't meet Zacchaeus again. We don't know if he was perfect at it. It's entirely possible that he wasn't always fair and he wasn't always generous. But he was different. Martin Luther was changed after he encountered the Holy Spirit in a new way as he was studying the scriptures. And he saw how some people were being welcomed into the church while others were not. He saw the barriers that the leaders of the church had placed between God and the people, and he realized it didn't have to remain that way. And he began to teach in a new way, that God is here with us, in us, and among us. That through the scriptures we can see God revealed to us on our own, that we don't need interpreters to help us find the way. He changed the church for generations to come. A woman, a drifter, and her daughter brought something new to a town living in the shadow of a mayor's shame. She used chocolate to remind people to find love within their families, within their community. And the town was transformed by this encounter with this woman who was clearly a sinner and yet taught them so much with a simple sweet. So each one of us has that place in which we are broken and hurt, and of which we might be ashamed. And yet, that place might be the very thing that helps bring the light of Christ to another by being transformed through the presence and the grace of Jesus at our table. We've been invited to new life time and again. We've been invited to host a party at which Jesus is a guest. How will we answer? What will we do? And will the light of Christ shine through us to people around us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.